Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had quite a week. Nobody will believe what is happening here in America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Nobody. I have a question for everybody today. What does it mean to be an American? What does it mean to be an American? If you can answer that question, please do not hesitate to ring me up. The protesters all around the world. People are standing up like never before. I'm hoping and praying that we get something out of this. Because I don't believe the people in power is going to give up anything if they don't have to. One thing I know, there's never, ever a major change without a conflict. I don't condone any of the burning of the buildings, but I do understand them. I understand that there's never, ever change without a conflict. And I believe that in order for something to happen in this country, you must put the power to be in fear. Just like Trump ran to the bunker in the basement and left his wife and child upstairs. That's right. He ran and hid in the basement of the White House. Now they have built a fence all the way around the White House because this guy is a real coward, a straight-up coward. But my question today also is, who killed George Floyd? Not just the four officers. Some of the people who sit around and do nothing, who sit around and say nothing, knowing that these things are happening. I tell you, when I first started court watching, some of the lies that the police told was too incredible to believe. They would take the stand and just outright lie for no reason. They was going to convict the guy because he was black anyway. But the problem was the officer would take the stand and lie. There was a shuffle inside the courthouse one day where this police officer attacked this lady. And I'm watching it. I'm sitting there watching everything that happened. He write up a report that this lady attacked him. I said, absolutely not. So everybody else was scared because it's the police. People scared of the police. Especially black folks. Black folks scared of police. That's why you don't see an overabundance of black people out there marching now. They're afraid of the police. They're actually afraid of the police. And that's why you don't see an overabundance of black folks out there. There should be thousands and thousands and thousands of black people out there. But they don't want to do what they do. But here's some of the things that I want to tell you about. Some of the things that have came out of this already. I'm going to start with the first incident, four officers fired for murdering George Floyd. That was on 5/26. 5/28, the University of Minnesota canceled contracts with the police. 5/28, the 3rd District Police Department neutralized by protesters. 5/28, the ATU local 1005 refused to bring officers to the protest or to transport arrested protesters. That was a heavy move. Activists took over a hotel to provide shelter for the homeless. Officer Chavez, who killed George Floyd arrested. That's on 529. Louisville mayor suspend no-knock warrant in response to police killing Breonna Taylor, which was really a major thing because that no-knock warrant is very, very, very tough to deal with. The U.S. Embassy across Africa condemned police murder of George Floyd. Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, the Congo, all of them, African countries condemned it. The AG Ellison took over the prosecution of the murdering officer in Minneapolis. He took over. TWU Local 100 bus operators refused to transport arrested protesters. Two abuse officers fired for pulling a couple out of a car and tasing them in Atlanta, Georgia. The Minneapolis police public school ended contract with the police. Confederate monument removed in Birmingham, Alabama. The prosecutor launched a campaign to stop the DA from accepting police union money, which makes sense. See, it's one of the things you have to deal with is the union. The police union is a very, very powerful, powerful operation. That's why when you go to court, they supply lawyers for these murderers. They do all these things for these murderers, and they create this. Very, very powerful, the unions. Tulsa mayor agreed to not renew live police contract. Louisville police chief fired after shooting of Breonna Taylor. Confederate statue ordered to be removed in Bensonville, Arkansas. Minnesota AFL-CIO called for the resignation of Bob Troll, the president of the Minneapolis Police Union. The ATU Local 85 announced refuses to transport police officers or arresting protesters. Racist ex-mayor Rizzuto statue removed. Six abuse officers charged for violating for violence against residents and protesters. Confederate soldier statue removed. Robert E. Lee statue removed. Civil rights investigation of a Minneapolis Police Department launch. Resolution to prevent law enforcement from hiring also with history of misconduct announced by San Francisco. Absolutely. And that's just the beginning. Survey indicates 64% of the polls sympathize with the protesters. 47% approve of police handling, but 54% think burning down a precinct fully or partially justified. So it was okay to burn down the police station. One also fired for tweeting promoting violence against protesters. Minneapolis Institute of Art, First Avenue, Walker Avenue, used MPD for event. And this is the thing. This is some big stuff. It's time that we get stuff and use these stuff as victories, because this is a major victory for most of us. And then the final thing, the United States Army kills soldiers who disobey any order to attack peaceful protesters. Nationwide. If Trump tell you to go out there and shoot somebody, don't do it. That's what they say. So I tell you, this is a situation where we are going to have to start doing things to make sure that we get something from this, because I mean really something. I think the police officers now should have an insurance policy that they pay for. That if they go out and shoot and kill somebody, rather than the taxpayer paying for it, I believe that the police officer should be made to pay. You'll stop some of that killing. Your police brutality. You can stop police brutality when it's coming out of their pocket. It's a whole different ballgame. And I think that is one way of handling this, by telling the people and telling these police officers, you go out there and kill someone, you're going to be liable for it if it's come out to be true. If you go out there and beat someone up, you're going to be liable for it. It's coming out of your pocket, not the taxpayer. Every time a police officer kills someone, it comes out of your pocket, our pocket. He's not paying a dime. Most of the time he resigns and they give him severance pay, get maybe a couple of years of pay, But we have to make sure that we hold these people accountable for their words, their action, and inaction. We got to draw the line in the sand. Until we draw that line in the sand, it's going to continue just like it is. We need to make them pay. We need to make them take out an insurance policy that they pay out of their own pocket, and that way they go out there and kill somebody, the citizens would not be held liable for it. I believe that's the way it should be done, and I think that we're heading in the right direction, but we got to change the way we do business. We got to stop forcing these people into doing the right thing. And then here's what we need. We need a uniform national policy about policing. Every state got their own policy. That don't work. That's why some of these guys get away. And here's something big, too. I don't think an all-white jury will ever find a police officer not guilty. Even if 50 witnesses saw him shoot somebody, even if 50 witnesses saw him put that knee on his throat, I do not believe that an all-white jury will find this person, this police officer, guilty. It's not going to happen. That is the history of it. When I went to court, there was absolutely no evidence against me. None. No witness, no nothing. But this all-white jury found me guilty. Even though it was overturned by the Supreme Court, but I still had to do the time. That's the bad part. That's the bad part. We got to get people to change the way they think about people. And especially my brothers and sisters. And then those are one who's sitting up on the couch watching it on TV. You need to get off that couch and get out there, because it could be you or one of your loved ones next. Who killed George Floyd? Who killed him? If we sit around and continue to do nothing at all, we don't have nobody to blame but ourselves, because they're going to continue to get away with this stuff unless we say no more. That's right. They're going to continue to get away with this unless we say no more. That's right. We have to make that big jump. We have to tell them that we're not going to stand for this anymore. And it's going to be some casualties. Also, you've got to retrain the police department. You see, you got to retrain them. Their job is to protect and serve, not to kill. Their job is not to beat you down. No, that's not their job. That's not what they're being paid for. But I believe if you make them pay out of their own pocket, you would no longer have police brutality and police killing innocent people. It is not going to happen, because now the taxpayer is not foot with the bill. Oh, you're going to pay big money for this George Floyd killing. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's, I'm talking to the people listening to the show right now. You're going to pay. Oh, they're going to hit you up real good. You're talking about millions and millions of dollars. It's going to be a big bill this time, and it's coming out of your pocket and not a dime coming out of his pocket. So now is your time. Let's start talking about forcing them to get insurance, liability insurance, in case they kill somebody else. On that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest, LaToya. She's from Kansas City, and she got a lot to talk about. And I'm going to give her as much time as she wants. Because when you're speaking about my TIs, I love my TIs. Amy, Gloria, all the rest of them. John, the whole group. I love my TIs. But we got to make sure that this might be an opportunity for them. I was on the phone when Amy called the police, and the police wanted to arrest her. They wanted her to come outside her apartment so they can arrest her. She had done nothing. All she did was call them and were trying to make them take a police report. But what they did, they couldn't arrest her inside her apartment for the simple reason that she had made the call inside her apartment, but if she would have stepped outside the apartment, they would have handcuffed her. They would have did it, probably took her to jail, maybe. I don't know. But anyway, let me bring in my good friend LaToya, and she will start her story and tell you exactly what's going on. And I'm going to get a few words from my good friend Gloria today, too. Yes, yes. LaToya, are you there? Talk to me.
Yes, sir. All right. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand up on the platform that I need to right now to speak out on the covert harassment, on the psychological warfare that is being acted out and operated on in communities. And so I thank you.
We got to work together. You know, I've been dealing with my TI families for years and years and years. Matter of fact, we even went to Washington, D.C. to deal with the Senate and the House. I don't remember what year it was. I think it was 2011, 2010. That's how long we've been together. And
yes.
I got a lot of love for my TI family. I got a lot of patience, too. And I think that's one of the things that you have to have in order to deal, because they're out here.
Most definitely.
You know, anytime that they're out here, and if they can export your weakness, they will. But let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about you. Let's start there.
Well, I'm 37 years old. I'm originally from East St. Louis, Illinois, but my father moved us here. And I want to say about 93 or so, we came to Kansas. I did not realize at the time that my mother and father were, in fact, targeted individuals. You know, they were running from something as we knew, but we never knew what they were running from. Well, that right there alone says a lot. The targeted program is based on plausible deniability. I'll start off with that. Okay, the things that they do are very controversial, and they're easy to deny if not seen by the trained eye. Okay, so anyhow, I'll start back with where I left off. You know, we're in Leavenworth, Kansas, and my father was in the military, so that's a whole nother targeted situation. So in order for me to stick to my story, I just wanted to say that my parents were targeted as well, but it trickled on down to me. There was a few situations in my life that led me to believe that something obviously wasn't right, because I did not understand why I was treated the way I was and why I was harassed and disrespected on very much odd occasions, I can say. These things are called occurrences and act stage events. Okay, it's called street theater. Well, the first thing I can remember, a very good incident of me being in a targeted occurrence in a staged situation, was when I was having my child. I did not understand why I was handcuffed, and I was not a criminal. I was just a child in need of care in SRS custody. But I did give birth to my son in handcuffs, and the way they did me was just totally wrong. They treated me as if I was a third world person. But I walked myself down to the courthouse and signed out of custody, where a judge in Topeka, Kansas, named Judge Mitchell, told me that if I had any more children in the state of Kansas, that they would rip them out the bed before I left the hospital. That was my first actual overt approach or overt occurrence and being targeted. And I did not understand then, but there's several other events that I can mention which led me to that conclusion. Okay, so I'll jump to that, and then I'll go ahead and get into the now. Now, let's see, 2016 was a very pivotal moment in my life because that's when my life went way bad. The covert harassment became overt because of a situation where I was engaged and I watched my fiance get totally set up, coerced, railroaded, disrespected, and everything else by the Topeka Police Department. And what I've seen shocked me so bad that I spoke out against it. And when I did that, I became a overt target. Okay, if you're following me, you know exactly where I'm coming from with this. Well, I began to complain about certain things like, why did the Topeka Capital Journal lie in the newspaper and say that he did something at my house when he wasn't even there? They were making false allegations and they were doing libel. Okay, because for one, you can't put false stories in the paper, but they did. They also said other things that not only were lies, but it was a discrediting and a slander and defamation campaign that was ran on me. Okay, I got pulled over. I had just got a brand new Grand Am, cherry apple red race car, and they wanted to know, how did I get that car? Those were the words that I was asked when I was pulled over. Well, I had been walking for 8 years prior, so I didn't even feel it was necessary that they, you know, question me, period, let alone I didn't even think they were paying attention to me. But the police officer didn't ask, ma'am, can I see your license? He said, how did you get that car? So I said, do I need to show you a check stub? Yes, sir. This is how targeted, this is how people are profiled in Topeka. They're very blatant with it. In Kansas, they just don't care. They will talk to you and do you how they want to. Okay, that's something that's just a natural thing actually around here. A lot of people are afraid of the police because of that, because they feel they have the ability to just disrespect you. But I'll go on further to continue the story by saying, you know, one thing led to the next. I end up in a situation where it got so bad, all the occurrences and everything, you know, I'm calling, complaining, saying, why are you guys putting the jail on lockdown when I'm trying to go see my fiance? Why are you guys following me in unmarked vehicles with one headlight on while I'm trying to go see my husband? Why is there a bounty hunter sitting in my seat when I'm supposed to go see my fiance on a case that we know is bogus? Yes, sir. This is how blatant they were hunting me, and I did not realize it, because in the end game, I did not realize that, yes, you are, in fact, prey, and they're the predator. This is a known fact, but I didn't know. So, okay, we go from one thing to the next. Now I'm calling, you know, council people and stuff, and everybody's hanging up on me. They're not even really wanting to acknowledge what I'm saying. In fact, they're getting very aggressive and mean with me. And one actually told me that, you know what, they are all in cahoots together, and that's why I got out of there. I don't represent Kansas no more. I'm sorry, call somebody else. This is how sad it is. So, you know, all right, one thing led to the next. Well, this is how you get isolated and railroaded, okay? I go to the parole officer himself, Brandon Phillips, and I verbally, blatantly told him, hey, sir, I know that this is a setup because I have evidence to show that she threatened his freedom and said that if you do this, I'll do that. Okay, but he didn't want to hear that. In fact, what he said was, refer yourself to Officer Cody. Okie dokie. Yes, sir, this is how disrespectful they are. I asked him, well, can you help me? Is there anything you can do? Because I think somebody's trying to kill me. And, oh, I'm sorry, we don't help. He said, this is not a program for you. We don't help people like you. These were his direct words. So I walked out of a state or, you know, federal probation or parole, building just completely distraught and actually scared for my life. Okay, I didn't realize that the people that were hunting me were the actual police department. I didn't realize that. And the KKK, but that's another thing, too. So let me go a little further. Now the actual neighborhood watch programs get involved, and I'm being mobbed. I'm not only am I being mobbed, I'm being vehicular, or I'm being harassed in my car. They, you know, they harass you in your car and try to get you into wrecks. Well, it got to the point where people are riding 1 inch from my bumper on the Topeka streets, and nobody, everybody act like they didn't see that. I'm wondering, why is this lady telling me, and I don't know what's wrong, so I pulled over, and she passed by or whatever, but I noticed, oh, yeah, there is a headlight out. You know, that's the wink of hate. That's in the Bible. He said, Lord, they pursued me with the wink of hate. Okay, that's what that one headlight means. But I'll go and, you know, keep going. And these are just events that a targeted individual deals with. Okay, I get home. And I'm wondering why every time I come outside, I see about 8 or 9 police officers drive down the street fast as can be. I mean, I'm thinking, is there a shootout or something? What's going on here? But not only does it happen once, it'll happen about 4 times. Because they want you to pay attention to it, because what they're doing is sensitizing you. These are neurolinguistic programs that are implemented through the covert overt harassment program that you don't realize you're being operated on. You know, really what it is, I'm going to just go ahead and say it. It's a war crime. What these people do is they say, oh, we declared a war on drugs, so we have the right to operate psychological warfare on citizens of their own country. Okay, that's what it boils down to. These tactics that the Neighborhood Watch programs and the Topeka Police Department were doing on me are war crimes. These are things that are enacted when people are engaged in war. Okay, but they do it legally under the guise of throwing you in a bad category. Well, I'm not a criminal. I have never sold drugs. I have never really, the cases that I've been to jail for were simply made up cases. Okay, now we're getting to another occurrence as me being a targeted individual, and this is recent, and I have to tell the truth. Okay, I got pulled over for trying to go get my fiance out of jail. The police officer pulled me over falsely, for one, because he said that I did not stop in an alleyway. And I said, excuse me, sir, but there was no stop sign. And he said, well, it's a state zoning or it's a city zoning law. I said, well, first of all, if there's a city zoning law for a stop sign in an alley, I'm quite sure I would have read it in the driving book when I got my license. But okay, this officer proceeded to rip me out of my own car. He turned my phone off and started digging in my purse. And he said, where are you going? I said, you know I'm going to go get my fiance. Don't play any games with me. I know what's going on, and so do you. So what's up? You know, well, he told me to hold on a minute and stay in my car with his gun drawn and about 5 other police officers for no reason. I have not even done anything at this point. Why is there 5 or 6 police officers out there with their guns drawn? I'm going to answer that question. Because when you are a targeted individual, they will put you in the category of approach with deadly force. So these police officers see on the computer, when they run my name, use deadly force. Excuse me? What have I done for you to use deadly force on me? But that's another story. I don't know. Still haven't figured it out, because I requested a Freedom of Information Act. Still haven't got it. But these are the games that they play. Okay, so anyhow, I'll continue with my story. And this is the truth, by the way. I've already got things ready. We're going to take this all the way. There's no turning back on this. But I told the man, I said, first of all, I need a woman officer to the scene of this crime, because I'm a Hebrew, and it's against my religion to get searched or touched by any other man other than my father, my husband, or my brothers, or something like that. I said, sir, don't touch me. This man had already ripped me out of the car, but do you know that he illegally searched me?
And he touched
a man, yes. I asked for a woman cop to come to the scene, but she did not. A man cop searched me. And he not only searched me, he touched my breath and he touched my private part. And I told him that it was disrespectful to my God for me to allow someone to touch me. So he did it against my will. I don't know why he thought he could just search me and he's not a woman. But, okay, let's go on to this because this is the truth. So I get arrested. What am I getting arrested for? Well, they said that I had a warrant for a some type of felony that I supposedly did. I said, sir, can you tell me what crime I committed? He said, I don't know, but you'll know when you get to the station. Excuse me? You can't even tell me what I did that you're arresting me? What part of the proper procedure and protocol are you following? Because this is not it. But okay, so we went down to the station. Oh, it gets better. It gets better. And it's kind of a shameful thing to even speak out about because, yes, it is embarrassing because I don't really like attention. But this man, these police officers, both men police officers, got me down there. And when it's time to get searched, I'm already getting locked up for something I don't even know what for, but I know whatever it is, I didn't do it. So I'm very upset. But at the same time, I know how to handle this situation because I've dealt with you before. So, okay, we get down there. Now I'm getting arrested. First of all, I'm supposed to be at work. These people are messing up. When they do that stuff, they're doing it intentionally because they know that they're railroading your jobs and everything else. Now I got to call my supervisor from jail and tell her I cannot make a shift because I got arrested. That's number two. Okay, we're going to speak on that. Yeah, but, you know, I'm going to touch that base a little later. But anyhow, I get down to the bookend, and it's time to go ahead and get searched. I've called everybody that, you know, done all that. But, no, they searched me before you even get a chance to make a phone call. I'm getting searched by, there was a lady officer in there, and there was two men officers in that room when she was searching me down and stripping me down. It is called a strip search because you're going to jail. They don't want to have any contraband in there. So my question I posed to Topeka, Kansas, is how was it legal for two male police officers to be in the room when a lady is being searched? They stood right there. And then when this happened, when I got to, she said, okay, first of all, the lady was being forceful with me as well. I said, lady, if you yank my arm one more time, we're going to have a problem. Do not, because I'm already frustrated. I said, I can lift my hands up by myself. Take these handcuffs off because you're cutting off my circulation. They're too tight. So she took the handcuffs off, and she says, okay, drop your pants, and take off your shoes, and take off your shirt. I said, listen here, I'm going to take my shoes off, and I even going to take my pants off because I have some undershorts on. I said, but ma'am, I'm not taking my clothes off in front of these two men. I said, I don't even know why they're in here. Why are they here? And they stood there and laughed. Yes, yes, sir. Why are you here? There's already a lady officer that I'm in her custody. She's the one that's supposed to search me. Why are you guys watching me? And so, literally, I got put in the hole because I refused to get undressed in front of two male police officers. Now, how railroadish, illegal, inhumane, indignant, and straight out wrong is that? Okay, all right, but I'm going to the hole, no problem, because I'd rather go to the hole with my clothes on or, you know, or whatever than to actually, me, that's almost like desecrating your body. Okay, so I'll do that. I'll sit in that hole, no problem. But we get to a court date, right? You know how there's first appearance. I did not have my first appearance. I was not on the docket for my first appearance. Why didn't I have a first appearance? Oh, hold on, I'm so sorry. Wait, before that, I complained to the nurse about when the man ripped me out of my car. He broke my skin with his nails, literally. And I still have the scars to prove it on the wrist. I said, ma'am, I said, you know that them handcuffs was too tight. And you also know that I told you the man grabbed my arm in an aggressive manner enough to break my skin when he ripped me out of my car. I said, can you please check my arm for me and disinfect it? I said, okay, and can you also document it and take a picture of it? Because I'm a nurse. And that's what you're supposed to do when somebody reports that. You're supposed to write up an incident report and take a picture of it and timestamp it. But she did not. Guess what she said?
What'd she say?
This lady say, we don't have a camera downstairs and I can't go upstairs to get it. Now, really, okay, we're going to deny the fact, you're going to deny me the chance to get my physical evidence when you know you're supposed to take a picture. That's another game they play. What people do is they act like they don't know what they're doing at their job. They literally will start becoming very, it's called gaslightish. When people start gaslighting you, what they're doing is discrediting what you're saying as if they don't know what you're talking about. That's also a part of plausible deniability. So these things are actual, like I said, COINTELPRO tactics that they use, which are neurolinguistic programs. It's programmed in people. That's how they do. You know, that's, they're trained for that. So, okay, I already realized what was going on. Just take me upstairs. I get upstairs. I missed my first appearance, and now all of a sudden I'm getting ready to go see my judge. I had lost track of time and everything because I wouldn't do nothing. I just don't appreciate being locked up for no reason. So anyways, I'm also worried about my fiancé, whom, by the way, is on the other side of the – he's right next door to me in the same jail, just a different mod. They put us side by side, and I'm asking them the whole time, where is my fiance? Oh, your fiance is not here. That's another thing they do. If you are incarcerated, they will lie.
They will lie.
They're going to say you're not there. When people call down to the jail, they're going to say you're not there, and that's so they don't have anybody to place you at the scene of a crime or in any type of, you know, they don't want to be held accountable. That's plausible deniability. I call down there and say, hey, where's my fiance? I know you guys locked him up. He's not here. I have to have like 50 or 60 people call before they'll acknowledge it. That's how bad it is in Topeka, Kansas. And simply because every, like you said, and that's why I'm so in agreement with this, and I think we are going to go somewhere with that. Because it's like you said, everybody just acts like it doesn't happen, or they look the other way, or what they do is just totally not care. They, a lot of people just simply don't care. And then the ones that
they
work
don't,
with
it,
them.
Until it happened to their family. When it happens
exactly.
to their family, then they want you to drop everything you're doing and help them. This is the mentality that we're in. And this is one of the reasons why we're never ever going to get justice, because I don't even know what justice means. I don't know the definition, because I've never known justice myself. And but I don't get it. See, that's why nothing. So far they're working, because you got other different races happening, but black folks got to get out here and do what they're supposed to do, because they're really not doing it. There's a lot of folks out there, but it's more black folks that need to get off that couch and get out there and protest.
No doubt. And I do want to mention, by the way, when people are admitted into these programs, and 9 times out of 10 how a lot of people get thrown in is by getting lied on, defamed, and slandered. Okay, they throw you into a category of being a dissident or a gang member or something like that, and you're neither of the sort. And then they even try to throw in, oh, it's guilt by association. I'm sorry, but what somebody else do, I shouldn't have to live with that, not me.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, sir, it's non-consensual. People that are put into these programs never sign a piece of paper that say, I want to be in this program that you are working and operating on me illegally. That's non-consensual. So now we're getting into breaking human rights, and we're getting into God-given rights, Geneva Convention rights, you know, it's just the universal rights, civil rights. All of your rights are disregarded. It's like you're a prisoner, but you know what they called me? They called me
what?
A dead girl walking. They called me a dead girl walking, because in that program, it's designed for you to kill yourself or either be discredited and become mentally ill. And I don't appreciate that, because, no, I'm God's child. I'm not a dead girl walking. And people put money on my head. That's what they did. See, I did not realize that some of these people that I was offending by telling the truth were so offended that they actually put a dollar amount for anybody to kill me. I was a dead girl walking. Okay, so they revved up the situations. Yeah, very interesting. And all this will be addressed in court. But, yes, sir, That's what it's called. It's called a dead man walking or dead girl walking. You know, what they want to do is silence you, because whatever you speak out on, and I've even had Sylvia Ortiz's secretary, and I'm not going to say his name, but Sylvia Ortiz's secretary told me, if you make Kansas look bad, they're going to come for you. They are coming from you. I said, excuse me, what do you mean? He said it in front of me. I had him on speakerphone, and my friend heard it too. I said, excuse me? I said, well, can you take my name off the paper? He said, no, they already know about you, and hung up the phone on me. What kind of mess? So here I am thinking I'm in the Twilight Zone, but it's my own people that use the logo very well, protect and serve, that have come against me. Oh, my God. But I'm paying these people's paychecks, by the way, because I've never really got SRS, and I've always worked. I've worked since I was 15. And let's address another thing. There's slander campaigns. They like to start lying on you. Well, do you know that these people were lying on me, saying that I was a prostitute? Excuse me? Okay, and this is, I have documentation, because when I got my car, it was the red Grand Am. Do you know that after they pulled me over and me and my mother made a big deal about it, these people had the audacity on Channel 13 News to run a little segment talking about prostitutes, gangbangers, and people with red cars. Excuse me? They put it on the news in order to cover their tracks, to say we pulled over a lot of red cars but where did this, who said that? That's what I want to know. Who actually said that a person that has a red car is a prostitute? They did. And they used it and they slandered my name. And then they passed around pamphlets and so forth in the neighborhoods, and had people that would say hi to me daily not want to talk to me all of a sudden. This is what a smear campaign / slander campaign is. And they do these things. Like I said, that is war crime. That's a tactic of war. Excuse me, you know, and I'm going to have to stop there. And if you want any more information on my fiance, like I was saying, yeah, they did it to him for 15 years. Basically, what happened with him is he really literally got set up by the Topeka Police Department, and his jurors even knew it. His jurors knew he did not do that crime. The crime that they charged him with, and he did 15 years in the penitentiary illegally, they knew he didn't do. But do you know that they railroaded that man, and a juror got changed? All of a sudden, you're doing things in the last moment now. You're not letting witnesses talk on his behalf and all of this. That's railroading and corruption. And they did it in that judicial system, and he ended up going away for 15 years. He did every last bit of that time, except for the good time. Yes, sir. And when he came back out, it hurt my soul. Because what did y'all do to him? That is my question. What did they do to him? Well, you took his freedom. And then when he got in there, you systematically targeted him, and where he was by himself, and he could not call out. So, you know, I have a very... very, very strong conviction for justice and standing up for the little guy, because, well, I was the little guy, and my fiance was the little guy. My mom was the little guy. My dad was the little guy. I just see too much of it. And, you know, they wanted to kill me, and if they could have, they would have. You know, I've been staged to where I've had KKK people follow me around. I do want to mention the red and the white trucks that are F-150s. You know, these men act like they're going to hit me. They come up on the curbs, honk at me, all this stuff, you know. And what it is a form of intimidation. You know, I know exactly what that is. But I deal with it every day.
Let me ask you a question. Now, whatever happened to you? What happened with you? When you was in jail, what happened?
Well, basically nothing, because I wouldn't let them do anything. I wouldn't give them anything but silence. I sat there until my court date. I had no choice. I kept on asking. You'd be shocked. Well, let me tell. Okay. The case disappeared. I don't know what happened, because when I went to go pick up my motion for discovery, I actually talked to the prosecutor. He gave me the papers. I said, sir, I'm getting ready to go to court right now. He said, it's been continued because the witness didn't show up. I said, how could there be a witness when the crime never happened? I'm going to court. When I went to court, I took a picture of the docket. My name was not on that docket.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they do. They make cases and they erase them.
So
I've never had to answer for that. This was in February. December. Yes, sir. Like December 18th or 19th of 2019. Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally.
Okay.
It wasn't too long ago. And so ever since then, it's been constant. I can't even walk down my street, my neighborhood street, without being harassed and followed and pictures taken of me, people turning on their head, all this, you know. That's how severe it gets in Topeka. So, yes, I have to be the one to stand up and say it needs to stop. And then the safe streets, the neighborhood watch, you know, all those groups, it's called illegal vigilantes, basically, because these people take it upon themselves to do justice that they're not trained for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that type of stuff is dangerous. Civilians don't need to be walking and following people trying to be the neighborhood watch, because that's not it. I mean, really, it could cause a volatile situation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Listen,
absolutely.
We want to get the rest of the story. We know that you're being targeted by. Are you also being targeted by the microwave or any kind of electronic?
Oh, okay, yes. I've dealt with that as well. Neurological side effects of electromagnetic radiation. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's horrible, and I can speak out to that.
Absolutely. Well, listen, we don't have the time today, but we'll get back with you on that, because I think that should give people enough energy to understand exactly what's going on. See, a lot of times people never knew that, you know, that our government would target us. Our government would misuse us. Our government would lie to us. And I'm telling you this, they will lie in a minute, and the folks will believe them over you, even though
automatically
they're lying. Yeah, and that is one of the major problems in this country today. They don't hold these people, these lying people, accountable for their actions. These judges, these prosecutors, law enforcement, their job is to serve and protect. And here's how we can stop them. We make them take out a liability policy. So anytime that they do something that's wrong and we find a way to sue them, let's sue their butt. I think that's the way it's supposed to be done. And until we start suing them and holding them accountable, it's going to continue just like it is. You know,
I agree.
Even if you have a uniform policy all across the country, if they're not being held accountable, they're going to continue to shoot, kill, and beat people, falsely accuse people, send people to prison, knowing that they can get away with it. And that's what they do, LaToya. That's what they do. They do it, and they get away with it, and we accept it. You know?
Wow.
I mean, I was shocked when I first started court watching. I was shocked to death. I could not believe that these folks would get on the stand and lie, knowing they're telling that, you know, it's a lie. And the bad part, the judge know they lie, the prosecutor know they lie, the jury know they lie, but they still find you guilty because of the color of your skin.
Yes, sir.
So
I think it's
so
bad.
That's amazing, Grace. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, and you hang in there, stand tough, and there's a lot of TIs around the country. You get with them. Sometimes they be a little overly aggressive, but just stick and move. So you know what you got to do. Just do what you do and stay focused. And on that note, I'm gonna let you have. Look, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I gotta move on. And I'm gonna bring in Gloria and just tell me what you want people to know about you. That's what I want you.
Okay.
To do.
I am a woman that loves life and loves God, and right now I just want to lift the city of Topeka and the world up and ask that God pour down his spirit, which is sovereign, mighty, and true, and help us. And I know that everything's going to be okay, because I'm not a racist, and I believe in people, and I know that with God and with the right moves, we winning. Let's go.
All right now, and what you're saying is so right too. Always put God at the beginning and the end, and
yes,
and we are always. always come out on top. On that note, Latoya, let's talk during the week, and let's keep this thing moving. And I'm really, really happy I have met you. And the fight continues. And I know about law enforcement. I know what they do. And we can beat them. You see, the point is we have to learn to work together, fight together, stand together, and then the victory belongs to us. We can win. On that note, Latoya, I will talk to you soon. Hey, man, that was a very, very interesting story. Wow, who would believe it? If you're not part of it, a lot of times you don't believe these things can happen. Yo, it just happened to Latoya. It would never happen to me. That's the mindset that we have, and it's the wrong mindset. We are just this way. If they find a way to attack us, they will attack us. If they find some way of doing stuff, they will do it. They will do anything they can, anything in their power to make sure that they get it right. So I'm just going to say a few more words because I think it's important that people understand how important it is to stand together. My TI family, you got to stand together. Do not fight among yourself. That's what they want. They want you fighting among yourself. If you fight among yourself, they win the battle. You see, that's the whole program. Right now, we can win. All we can do is just stand together. We got many allies out there who want to fight with us. Many allies. See, we become a force when we start fighting together. So on that note, I want to bring in my good friend Gloria. And just want to say a few words because I always like to hear her wisdom. Gloria, are you there? Talk to me.
I'm here, Reverend Pinckney.
How you doing
and
today?
We've come to a point now. We need the help of the listening audience. We have been bringing you this information for several years. And the person that was at the helm of collecting all of this information is Amy Anderson. And right now, Reverend Pinckney, I sent you a picture of her. Did you get it?
No, I did not. Did you? Would you email it to me or sent it?
I sent it in a text. I sent it in a text over the phone. But
okay.
I'll send it again. I'll send it again. They are torturing Amy to the point that she went from maybe a size 12 to a size 2. At this point, she's skin and bones because she's coming with the information. We have enough information now. We will have a meeting tomorrow night. Reverend Pinckney, we would like you to join us. I will give you more information after the call. I would like you to join us. The sister that put together the Million Woman March, Empress Chi, she's helping us pull it together so we can open it up to the world and have a conference and let people know this is what's going on. It's me today. It'll be you tomorrow. So
absolutely. We
have to, it has to be heads up. They keep showing you every day, like, these people aren't right. What that gentleman did, when I looked at him, Reverend Pinckney, when I saw the reviews where the police officer killed George Floyd, he was in a trance. It's like he was stuck where he was. And that's MK Ultra, that's mind control. That's microwave mind control. It's called Tetra. And if you look it up, Tetra, Barry Trower from the UK, he writes about that. He has a book out called The Cooking of America. They are slowly cooking us with all of this technology floating through the air. If it's not going through the wires, then it's going through you. We need
absolutely,
help, Reverend.
Absolutely.
Okay? We need help at this point. So
absolutely.
We'll be in touch.
And And here's what I want to tell you also. I know that they're torturing and Amy. I know that she's a strong fighter. And I know it's unfortunate now how much I remember I saw her, you know, I saw her a couple of times. So I know how, you know how big she was before in reference. But I want to look at that picture so I can see how much weight she lost, because I think yes. it's important that, you know, I remember when we was in Gary and this young lady was there. She used to be a bright-skinned. And then they showed me a picture of when she was bright-skinned. And then I looked at her now. You could see how the microwave had burnt her skin up. And a lot of times people don't believe that this system would torture you. This system would kill you and won't think nothing of it. Everybody is expendable to them. You're just a little pawn yeah. in their little game. They don't care nothing about you. But the point is, we can beat them down with numbers, numbers, numbers. And we do have the numbers, so we can beat them down. So we got to take this thing to a whole different level, do what we need to do, and then deal with it on that level. That's the only way we're going to win. We can't win no other way, because these folks are serious. They're serious about killing you. They're serious about killing Amy. They're serious about killing LaToya. They're serious about killing all of us, and include me.
Yes, they are.
You see, that's the problem. We don't get it, though. Because most times people, if you talk to a person and tell them what's happening to you, first thing they say, oh, that ain't happening to you. The government would never do that to you. Government is not like that. That's the first thing that come out of their mouth, because that's the way they've been brainwashed to think. It's all about brainwashing, you see.
Well, that's how we used to talk. But now the things are starting to happen to them.
Yeah.
Then they can, I kind of get it now. Oh, you do? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You said the right word. I kind of get it now. I understand what you're going through. But I can't understand what you're going through till something like that happens to me. See, that's the way it's set up. You see, until it happens mm-hmm. directly to me, I'm very sympathetic with the people, and I believe that these folks would do anything to you. And Gloria, you know, you got an excellent friend, and you can't get no better than that. Amy gonna get a chance to tell her story next week. I'm gonna give her as much time as she wants to use. I'm going to make sure I don't schedule too many more people, you know, anybody else. I'm going to make sure that she has enough time so people can understand exactly where she at. Because I know she might be all over the place, but people will know that what she's saying is the truth. And to me, it's nothing more important than just telling the truth and then let the people decide whether they believe it or not. That's on them. Once you give them the information, the rest is on them. And that's what I believe. But Gloria, you got 90 seconds to say whatever you want. Tell us something that you want us to know, and let's take it from there. And you people out there, please listen, because it's important. This could happen to you. This could be happening to you. If you can help somebody, help them. Talk to me, Gloria.
What I'd like to say right now, everyone that hears my voice, we need your help. If it comes down to a petition to sign, we need your help. And this woman, Amy, has been relentless. I've known her for 11 years. And she has been relentless at this cause. And now we have to support her because she's in better straits. She needs help. And we're the ones to give it to her. Thank you for listening.
All right. And then people out there, who killed George Floyd? The one who's sitting on the couch talking. You Facebook activists. You know, get out here and do something. Demand that the police department officers take out a policy, a liability policy, for any act that they do. demand. That way they'll stop all this police brutality and this murdering. Because if it's coming out of their pocket, it's a whole different flavor. We have to tell them that, and hold them accountable for that. And you people that be on that jury, stop believing these police officers. I hate to hear somebody, well, some of the police officers are good and some of them, there's a good one, there's a few bad. No, it's a lot of bad ones. And they bad because you have given them the green light to go out here and kill because you're not going to convict a butt for murder. You're not going to do it. They're murderers, a lot of them. They beat people. How they push that 75-year-old man down. They did that because they know that you are not going to send them to jail. That's why they did it. And they'll do it again. So you people out there who sit around here, and I hate to hear them talking about, well, it's only a few bad. No, it's not. It's a few good apples, and the rest of them are bad. I remember all these police officers planting drugs on people, destroying families, and they gave them a couple of months in jail. Everybody else get 10, 15 years. He get a couple of months. That's because of you people out there who sit around here talking about it's only a there's some good police officers. There is good, but we got to find them. Most of them I have ran across have been bad. I have not ran across any good officers. None. Not one. Not a single good officer. None. And you can take that to the bank. So, listen. This is what we're going to propose. We're going to start telling them that anytime you become a police officer, you have to have a liability insurance policy. So if you beat somebody up, you're going to get sued. If you kill somebody, you're going to get sued. That way, the taxpayer do not pay for that. That's the stupidest stuff I ever heard anyway. Why would the taxpayer have to pay for something that this guy have done wrong? That don't make no sense. That's why they got away, get away with this stuff. And look, that 75-year-old man, the one that these two white officers pushed down, they was outside cheering him on for pushing a 75-year-old man down, and that makes them good? What's wrong with you people? I live in Barron County, Michigan, and I can tell you there's not one decent police officer in this whole county. Not one. If you could find one decent police officer, let me know. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they kill, they plant dope on you, and they make false reports. This is what they do. This is how they get promoted. So stop trying to cover up for them. Stop trying to cover up for them. Let's look for the good ones. It ain't many good ones. So you sit around telling a few bad apples. No, it's not a few bad apples. It's a lot of bad apples. Matter of fact, it's more bad apples than good apples. I can tell you that. Wow. Who killed George Floyd? But unfortunately, I have just ran out of time. I was just getting warmed up. But let's try to force them to make them take out liability insurance for every officer that works in the police department. Let's change this mess around. And those of you who are sitting on the couch, those of you who are on Facebook and all this kind of stuff, get your butt out the house and get out there and do something. Good night, all.